Dearly beloved, thank you for joining today for this short devotion that I'm going to share, which is taken from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And as Pastor has preached just now, the title of today's devotion is An Expected End. So let me read from this verse, which I believe will be familiar to most of us. And it says, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So I think before I start, it would be good to give a little context to when this chapter was written. So this was, of course, written by the prophet Jeremiah. And this was written to the Israelites when they were in the first exile, which is the Babylonian exile, 597 BC. And during this period, they must have definitely felt uncertainty, being displaced from their homeland. So similarly for us today, we may not be going through exile per se, but I'm sure that all of us are going through certain levels of uncertainty in our lives. It could be in our careers, our education, or even where our life is heading towards. So I hope today's devotion will give us some encouragement through the sharing of this verse. I've come up with three main points for today's devotion. First, God's sovereignty in our plans. Next, God's promise of peace. And lastly, God's promise of hope. So first, God's sovereignty in our plans. And we see this in the first part of verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, which says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." So we know that God is omniscient. We see this in 1 John 3:20, which tells us that God is greater than our heart and God knoweth all things. And because God is omniscient, because God knows all things, God is sovereign in his plans. And also God has intimate knowledge of our life. And because God loves us, his plans, we can be sure and certain that his plans are tailored specifically for each individual. We see this in the psalmist in Psalm 139 verses 1 to 3, which says that God knows our downsitting, he knows our uprising, he knows our thoughts, he knows when we are lying down, and he's acquainted with us all the way. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says that God has formed us, God has also called us, and we are his. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says that a man's heart deviseth his way, but ultimately the Lord directed his steps. So thinking of how our current situations or circumstances in our life is panning out, how can God, or how do you think God is working in these circumstances today? Perhaps there may be someone here who's struggling at work with too much. Maybe he has a colleague that is on long leave and he's taking up that extra workload. Or perhaps he has just changed a new job, just like myself, and really struggling with grappling with the new procedures and, you know, just doing the best that you can. Or perhaps you may be having some relationship issues. Maybe you have fallen out with a friend, or maybe having spousal issues. Or perhaps you also are falling out with your family. You may have had an argument that you can't forgive your brother or your sister. So through this, and knowing that God has intimate knowledge of our life and his plans are tailored specially for us, how do you know and how do you think God could be working in these unique situations? Next, we see that God promises, and God promises peace. We see this in the middle part of this verse, that God says that he knows the thoughts of peace and not of evil. So this peace that is in this verse is the word shalom, which all of us are definitely familiar with. So what exactly does shalom mean? So God's, or the Bible's definition of peace, it goes far beyond material wealth or worldly success. It actually talks about, you know, having well-being, being whole, having prosperity, and also being complete. We see this in Matthew 6 verse 33, which says that for those who seek his kingdom, all these things will be given to us. In Philippians 4 verse 19, we see that God will meet all the needs, all our needs, according to Christ's riches in Christ. And in Psalm 1 verses 2 to 3, we see that if we meditate on his law day and night, this person is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, and this tree yields its fruit in season and does not wither. So here we see the promise of peace that God offers to those that call him Abba Father. And definitely through Jeremiah's message to his people, God was telling them that, hey, I know you're in captivity, but you can still find this prosperity, this peace, even in the midst of your difficult situations. So, yeah, again, as how I had asked you all to reflect on any difficult situations that you may be going through, can we likewise also reflect on the peace that God has already given us? Taking into consideration the peace that is defined by shalom, which is having well-being and whole and being whole, definitely, although we may be going through difficult situations in our life, but we can also be thankful for the good health that God has given us, the good relationships that he's given us, this safe country that we're living in, the houses that we're staying in, also this purpose-driven life that we have. But more importantly, we have this eternal glory that awaits us. Which leads me to my final point, which that God also promises hope. And we can see this in the verse, the ending part of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And God ends off through Jeremiah by telling his people that God gives us, or give them, an expected end. So, the Hebrews have a really interesting concept of time. So, for them, when they think about time, you can liken it to a man rowing a boat, and his back is actually facing his destination, which is time. So, as he's rowing towards his destination, he's unsure, or his destination is entirely unknown to him. So, you can imagine the response that the people who may have received this word may have felt when they heard that there's an expected end for them. This would come as a surprise, because for them the future is unknown. But here, this end is certain and is promised to them. And not only is it certain, God's plans are also sure and they're also purposeful. We see this in Romans 8:28, which says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And also in Isaiah 40 verse 31, which is our theme verse for the year, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." So God's plans are sure and purposeful for his people. More importantly, this hope that we have is hinging on Jesus. Jesus, our Savior, who has conquered death. Philippians 1 verse 6 says that we are confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 4, it says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So indeed, this is the ultimate hope that we cling on to, this promise of hope that God has promised not only to the people who were in exile, but it also is applicable to us as well. So how can we model hope life living today? Perhaps in our office, when everything seems gloomy, we can be the one that always wears this perpetual smile on our face, knowing that even in spite of this difficult situation, that we have this eternal promise that God has for us. So to end, this chapter was written by Jeremiah to tell his people that although they were in exile, that they have this promise given to them, that whilst they were far from home and they were wondering why God had abandoned them, that God had given them this expected end. And we can see their immediate expected end in Jeremiah 29 verse 14, which says that, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." In this verse, Jeremiah tells his people that whilst they are in exile, very soon they will be liberated. And we can see this coming into fruition through Ezra and Nehemiah going back to Israel. So dearly beloved, whilst our present time may be difficult, it is not the end of our story. And I hope that through this short devotion that we can see how we are being encouraged and God wants us to see beyond our current circumstances to this future that He has created and this future that He deems best for us. So what exactly is this future? We can see this in Revelation 21 verse 4. And this is really an encouraging verse that has given me much hope as I personally was struggling at work over the past 2 months. Verse 4 of Revelation 21 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away." Whilst we suffer here on earth, we can look forward to this eternal hope, and we can all one day gather together at the feet of God to worship Him without pain, without suffering, without worry. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for this encouraging verse that whilst it was written for the people, your people who were in captivity, but it also applies to us as well. We pray for anyone here who may be struggling in their lives. Lord, you know their concerns, you know the pain that they're going through. May they be encouraged to know that you are sovereign, your plans are unique for them, and that you have a purpose for them, and you have promised them hope and an expected end for them, Lord. So, Father, we pray now for this next section or where we come to you in prayer, that you will rid us of all distractions as we pray for the church, for your people. We ask this in your most precious and holy name. Amen.